I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room. Super Bowl 52 looks a lot like Super Bowl 39. It's the New England Patriots versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And like the game 13 years ago, won by the Patriots, Tom Brady is still arguably the best quarterback in the National Football League.
You know, I guess it's my life, so I'm living it, and it feels very natural and normal just because, you know, I wake up every day and I feel very much the same as I did when I walked in here 18 years ago. I really do.
The Patriots found themselves behind the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars for most of the American Conference Championship game, but as the team has done so many times, it rallied behind Brady's leadership.
We finally could get the field on our side and get some field position, some short fields, and turn, you know, the one score into two scores. And that's why you play all four quarters, too. The game's never over after the halftime, and you got to go to the end.
An unusual injury from practice left Brady with stitches in his right thumb on his throwing hand, casting some doubt on how he might play.
This was a little injury at the end of the day. It's certainly a big part of what a quarterback does. I mean, I've had a lot worse injuries than this, but if this was on my left hand, I could care less, but it's based on where it was, and you know, we had to deal with it.
Receiver Danny Amendola scored two crucial touchdowns late in the game for the 24-20 win.
A big reason why this team wins a lot in the fourth quarter is because of the preparation all year and the mentality that our head coach brings to our team. It's going to be a 60-minute fight, and we know we're going to be have a chance at the end of the game, no matter how far we are down.
Despite being behind early, Coach Bill Belichick wasn't too concerned.
We came in at halftime with, you know, a good level of confidence that it was a four-point game and we hadn't played well. If we could get it going, that we could win the game. And it took us a little while to do that.
The Philadelphia Eagles were led by backup quarterback Nick Foles, who has played since starter Carson Wentz suffered a season-ending knee injury in mid-December. Foles delivered three touchdowns in a 38-7 romp over the Minnesota Vikings. He credits the protection he had from his teammates.
That's the key to an offense, is the offensive line. And we have, you know, the most athletic, best offensive line in the league. I mean, those guys are unbelievable. I mean, each one of them can probably beat me in a race. That's how athletic they are.
Foles and the Eagles wasted no time.
Yeah, we want to be aggressive. I mean, this is Minnesota, one of the best teams in football. Obviously, their defense is one of the top defenses in the league. So we had to go right at them and be aggressive. We were able to execute well.
And he was happy the game was in Philadelphia.
The fans were amazing. I mean, that is so hard when you're the opposing offense and you're trying to get your checks, you're trying to communicate, you're trying to say the play in the huddle, you're trying to do all these things. Like, that is a huge advantage, and it's shown throughout these last several years here in Philadelphia, the loudness of the fans and the passion of the fans.
Philadelphia coach Doug Pederson had a game plan, but he knew where the real victory came from.
Listen, at the end of the day, there is no magical offense or defensive play or special teams play. It comes down to players and players making plays, and our guys did that.
Super Bowl 52 is February 4th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It seemed as if it would never end, but in the end, world number one women's tennis player Simona Halep of Romania won the longest Australian Open women's match in terms of games, 48.
I didn't give up, and for sure I'm stronger mentally, and I could resist, like, for every moment in the match. That makes me very happy, and I think the big win is that I could handle it.
Halep outlasted American Lauren Davis, 4-6, 6-4, 15-13. Davis was happy with her effort.
I'm very tired, but, I mean, there's a lot to take away from that match. I played really, really well and left all that I had out there on the court and did all that I could do, so things are looking up, I think.
Halep continued to the quarterfinals by stretching her undefeated record against Naomi Osaka of Japan to 9-0 with a 6-3, 6-2 win. 2016 Australia Open champion Angie Kerber of Germany had a tough 4-6, 7-5, 6-2 battle against Shea Su Wei of China.
I was trying everything and she had always the better answer, and I was just trying to not thinking about the score, because I know that I can fight, I know that I can come back. And I was just trying to playing until the last point. And I think the fight was also very important for me today.
Among the men, South Korean Hyun Chung won the match of his life, beating Serb great Novak Djokovic 7-6, 7-5, 7-6 to reach the quarterfinals.
When I play tennis, I'm just looking for Novak, Roger, Rafa, and they're all my idol and role models. I'm just happy to play with Novak game, and my dreams come true.
Djokovic had nothing but praise for Chong.
Whenever he was in trouble, he came up with some unbelievable shots, passing shots, and, you know, just from back of the court, he was like a wall. It's impressive. I mean, I wish him all the best.
Marin Cilic of Croatia is happy with his game as he advances.
I'm very pleased. I felt that I played all four matches on a good quality. I'm feeling good with the game. I'm hitting the ball really nicely, taking chances, playing aggressive.
And Grigor Dimitrov of Bulgaria is thrilled to still be in contention.
All these matches matter a lot more to all of us. Yeah, into that second week is always a privilege to play out on that court, out in front of all the fans.
As South Korea prepares to host the 2018 Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang in just a couple weeks, some South Korean athletes are pushing back against government efforts to showcase inter-Korean unity between North and South by fielding unified teams. South Korea's women's ice hockey team is the first to be singled out to include North Korean players. This proposal is meeting opposition. North and South Korean ice hockey teams competed as opponents at the International Ice Hockey Federation's Ice Hockey Women's World Championship in April 2017. South Korean team coach Sarah Murray had barely landed in South Korea this month before she was asked about the idea.
Adding somebody in, North Korean or South Korean, adding somebody in so close to the Olympics, it's a little bit dangerous just for team chemistry because the girls have been together for so long.
It's not yet a done deal as officials from both countries are still in talks about North Korea's participation at Pyeongchang.
The players, they've earned their spots. They think they deserve to go to the Olympics. Then you have people being added in later. It definitely affects them, but we can't let it bother us. Like, we can't have it be an excuse as to why we don't perform well at the Olympics. We have to do our best regardless of what's happening to us.
Officials are deciding if and how to proceed. Do Jung-hwan is the South Korean Minister of Culture, Sports, and Tourism.
Regarding the women's ice hockey team, our 23 players will remain. We are discussing ways to expand the team's roster from 23 to 30.
A recent poll shows over 80% of South Koreans welcome the North's decision to send a large delegation to the Pyeongchang Olympics, but 70% of the public opposes the formation of a combined team. Thousands of South Koreans signed online petitions asking their government to drop the idea. But for South Korean President Moon Jae-in, the greater goal for this Olympics is to promote peace and hopefully achieve denuclearization with the isolated and repressive Kim Jong-un government.
If the South and North form a united team and participate in the Olympic Games, I think it will become a historic moment, not only Koreans, but people from all over the world will be moved to see such a historic moment, and it will be a great start to resolve inter-Korean issues.
North Korea boycotted when South Korea hosted the Summer Olympics in 1988. This time, during the opening ceremony, South and North Korea athletes will walk together under a special United Korea flag. North Korea will send a large delegation, including a Taekwondo demonstration team, an orchestra to perform, and hundreds of cheerleaders. And skiers from both sides will train at North Korea's Mount Kumgang Mountain Resort prior to the games. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.